Hey, this is Steve Thompson, and today we're joining Paul in a very feisty mood as he's ramping up his attempts to win the Corinthians back and counter all the trash talking that had captivated these new Christians. So here's 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 16 through 21. Again, I say, don't think that I'm a fool to talk like this, but even if you do, listen to me, as you would to a foolish person, while I also boast a little. Such boasting is not from the Lord, but I'm acting like a fool. And since others boast about their human achievements, I will too. After all, you think you are so wise, but you enjoy putting up with fools. You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face. I'm ashamed to say that we've just been too weak to do that. But whatever they dare to boast about, I'm talking like a fool again. I dare to boast about it too. This feels a little like playground psychology, or maybe sports posturing, where everyone's trying to one-up each other with their stories and their trash talking. Have you ever been on the court or the field, and the star player on the other team, they just won't stop chirping and showing off? And then you just watch as the fans and their teammates get all sucked in into it, and they go nuts for it, and it just blows the whole thing up. That's a bit of the feel that I'm getting from all of this conversation. Paul, though, would really love to stay above the fray. He wants to just keep his head down and keep going about the Lord's business. But since the Corinthians seem to be totally sucked in by it, Paul feels like he's got to get down in the mud with everyone just to prove a point. Not without pointing out how foolish and juvenile it all is along the way, though. And to be clear, this is not at all what mature followers of Jesus do. This is ridiculous, fleshly, worldly, self-promoting nonsense. But if it's going to snap you out of this trance, then let's go. He says, "You're impressed by boasting and bullying behavior? Are you kidding me? They're taking advantage of you and you're letting them do it?" Yeah, you're right. We were too weak, just visualize those air quotes, to come in and treat you like that. What actually grabs my attention a bit here is when he says, "You put up with it when someone enslaves you, takes everything you have, takes advantage of you, takes control of everything, and slaps you in the face." And then he sarcastically says that, "I'm sorry, but I must be too weak." What grabs my attention about this is that he's describing classic abusive behavior. And as humans, we're probably getting a core need met, be it love, physical affection, receiving nice things, not having to feel alone, feeling physically protected and secure. It could be any number of things that we will put up with a lot of abuse and mistreatment if we've been convinced that we're not going to get any of these things, any of these needs met anywhere else. So what I'm thinking through right now is, am I in any relationships where I'm exchanging putting up with a lot of garbage for something I'm afraid I can't get somewhere else? Am I following any leaders that are leading through bullying and posturing? Am I participating in any group cultures that are fostering and even propping up people who are impressive but also toxic? Unfortunately, it's become kind of clear that local churches are susceptible to tolerating and, in many instances, elevating people who are leading or operating in incredibly immature and unhealthy ways. We even have had an award-winning podcast done by Christianity Today a couple of years ago called "The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill," and it covers the story of one such church culture. And it's resonating because it's become all too common. So what I come back to then is self-evaluation. I think of all our knee-jerk reactions or being offended at and judging people who are in situations like these or who are those people. But what is probably a much more healthy and helpful response is to look for any signs or roots of those things in my own life. So I'm just going to reframe Paul's calling out of these leaders' actions by checking for the fruit of spirit in my life. That would actually be the exact opposite of what the Corinthians got caught up in and enamored with. So I just pulled out each of these phrases And then I'm going to ask a couple of questions. Paul said, you put up with it when someone enslaves you. So my question is, am I celebrating and empowering people to live into their gifts and passions? Am I pulling people toward me to serve my agenda? Or am I equipping and enabling people to live out their callings? Paul says, they take everything you have. So for me, am I refusing to be a burden to others by not only providing for myself, but also giving back and enriching others, being generous, blessing others? Paul says, they take advantage of you. So for me, am I guarding others' weaknesses by refusing to be predatory and instead coming alongside them and offering mine or others' strengths to compensate and to strengthen? Paul says they take control of everything. So for me, am I bringing freedom to people's pursuit of Jesus, or am I loading them down with controls and the right way of doing everything? Paul says they slap you in the face. So for me, am I giving lots of verbal encouragement and praise, and even offering non-sexual physical affirmation and love? So Lord, would you speak to us on any of this? Reveal any blind spots that we have, either about who we're following and listening to, or about how we ourselves are operating. Reveal anything that's toxic or breaking down unity and wholeness, and give us the courage and the humility to challenge those things with your powerful presence and posture. Father, open our eyes. We love you. We trust you, and we look forward to living a reflection of who you are today. Amen.